Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Goldbridge Saves Football. It's been so long. It's been so long. Just because we didn't do the Friday show, it feels like we haven't done one for ages, Will. But it's so good to be back and we've got so much to talk about.
Yeah, I don't want to start by cleaning your car, but a week's been a long time and I don't want to blow smoke up your arse either. But what an amazing achievement for you at the weekend. £50,000 for charity. A lot of people say you're a bad guy, but I mean, look at that money you've done for charity. So this will be the first and last time I'm nice to you. So well done, but let's get on with
Will,
the show.
Well, you know, I'm even thinking this and I'm the guy who raised money for charity. Some people raise money for charity and then they're still bad guys, as we've become aware of. Yeah, just want to make clarity. I'm not, but let's just...
You sound like you are, you know.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not. It was a fantastic achievement by the community. And it's a fantastic achievement to be back doing this podcast. Remember to get your comments in and give us a follow on Spotify and iTunes and all that. But we've got loads to get into. We've got Pratt of the Week. And Pratt of the Week is sort of, we've got the jingle. But I'll tell you what, Will, Pratt of the Week is starting. I've got two or three. You've got two or three. We're going to be talking about the naughty boys, Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal. Should they be relegated? Not Arsenal yet, but they're going to get a charge. Either ors, some cracking ones in there like De Bruyne versus Scholes, Jota versus Foden, and my favourite of all, which I've completely forgotten, which we'll remember. But I've got a new jingle here. I'm going to go straight into this. Will doesn't even know this is going to happen. This is going to be a new section on the run up to Christmas, and it goes a little bit like this. Who'll be top at Christmas, that is all. Who'll be top at Christmas, that is all. Who'll be top at Christmas?
All right.
That is all. He's good. Wants me to stop.
Yeah.
Well, who'll be top at Christmas? That's what we're going to do because this international break is about to come to an end. And I'm just going to jump straight in there and say, Manchester, no. Liverpool.
Really? What do you think with the run-in, with all the fixtures, with the way they're tracking, that they're going to be top?
Well, I know they've got a very big game at the weekend, which we're going to be previewing massively on the Friday show. But I think that it's really interesting when you look at the fixtures in December. I've just got a feeling it's going to be Liverpool. But look at the table. Obviously, Man City are still top. They're a point ahead of Liverpool and they're at home to them on Saturday. But I'm just going to throw it out there. I think Liverpool will be top at Christmas. Look, people will say, how can you say that as a United fan? I'm making a prediction. I'm not a football god. I'm just Mark Goldbridge. I tried to say football, but I'm not a footballing god. I can't decide who's going to be top at Christmas. But I can say that looking at the fixtures, I just feel that Liverpool will be top at Christmas. What about you, Will?
Well, I'm just looking at the fixtures now. And in the before Christmas Day, which I don't know if you've ever seen The Chase, the ones where the guy was like, what day is Christmas Day on? And the guy goes, Wednesday, but it's on the 25th again this year. They've got to play Manchester United, Manchester City and Arsenal before Christmas Day. So, Mark, I'm saying to you, do you still want to keep your prediction that Liverpool will be top at Christmas?
Yeah, well, I was just looking at it there. They've got, as you say, got Man City, Fulham at home, win. Sheffield United away, win. Crystal Palace away, I think they'll win there. Then Liverpool, then they've got West Ham, then they've got Arsenal, which is all before Christmas. But if, well, they'll open up a big lead at the top if that doesn't happen. I mean, your alternative is to go with the mighty Manchester City, boring. They've got a point lead at the moment. They've got Liverpool at home, then they've got Spurs at home who've fallen away, but then they've got Villa away, Luton away, Crystal Palace at home, Brentford at home, and then, yeah, I mean, look, Man City probably are favourites, but I'll give you Arsenal as well. Arsenal, Brentford away, Wolves at home, Luton away, Villa away, Brighton at home, Liverpool away. I mean, it's probably going to be Man City, actually. I've just talked myself into a bore. Who'll be top at Christmas, Man City?
Yeah, it should have just been a two-word section, really. What I would like is for the table to be as it is going into Christmas Day. So if we can have 3 points separating the top four, that would be a big ask of mine. But what I do think, not such a bold prediction, I think it would be Manchester City and Liverpool that will be clear of Arsenal by then. Just something with Arsenal that just makes me feel like I've had 10 Guinness and, you know, my gut's reacting bad again. There's just something a little bit stinky going on there. I can't put my finger on it. I'm not a doctor, but I just feel like Manchester City and Liverpool might start to pull away a la what we've seen over the last couple of seasons. So I want it to be as tight as it is, but I just feel Manchester City and Liverpool will start to put the foot down. And Arsenal, are they qualified already for the Champions League next round? But yeah, that's my prediction. Not as bold as you're saying Liverpool are top, but I mean, if Liverpool beat Man City on Saturday, oh my God, we could be celebrating in the streets because we will have a title race on our hands, my friend.
What you're trying to say is you want to wake up on Christmas morning and it to be nice and tight.
Yeah, nice and tight.
At the top of the league.
You've given me your sack of presents.
Oh, you see, you took it somewhere it doesn't need to go. What? Right, we're going to go serious here. We're going to talk about relegation because the title of the show is Man City and Chelsea relegated ? And then Arsenal facing Chargers. I do just want to say, though, I'm not going to shout the person out because he'll either be very popular or he'll get picked on. But somebody in our Spotify comments said, Goldbridge saves football. How can you save football when you're only focusing on the top teams? It's a good point, of which
I'm not too bothered.
Yeah, he's a Blues fan. He talks about Birmingham. But look, I focus on what interests me. If I'm down the pub and there's a table with interesting people on it, and then there's a table with you on it, whoever made that comment, then I'm going to sit and talk to the people who are interesting. It's the circle of life. Elton John sang about it. It's the circle of life. And ultimately, I focus on what's interesting. I don't find the bottom half of the table particularly interesting. Last year I did, but I think this relegation battle is going to be very, very boring. But talking about relegation, Will, big, big news at the moment is that we've seen Everton given a 10-point points deduction. We're also seeing now Chelsea have apparently been involved, according to an article I read, in what I would describe as allegedly money going to players' agents, managers, other clubs to help them buy players over the last 10 years. Previous to this Todd Bowley era, Roman Abramovich, I think it's safe to say. And then Man City have their 115 charges, which, I mean, again, involves allegedly things where money is being used not correctly, whether it be sponsors or deals or whatever. We've seen that 10-point deduction for Everton. It's a very severe punishment considering the Everton one was basically going over what they were allowed to spend by 20 million and admitting it. It could be and probably should be relegation for Chelsea and Man City and anybody else who gets caught in relation to what they allegedly have done.
Yeah, I mean, the news broke, you delve into it and then you look at the facts of the Everton situation and it's exactly like you said, they've gone 20 million over. But what they were trying to say is they've gone less over the spend than they have. They changed their verdict from saying they haven't to they had. And then it was sort of delving into the stuff around the stadium, obviously the war in Ukraine and sponsorship like that. I feel a bit torn on it, really. I think when it first came out, my initial reaction was a bit like you going, Manchester City, Chelsea, what's these next? But the Premier League have set a precedent here. And that's my biggest worry, that they're not going to be able to follow up on it. Now, the Manchester City case is completely different to the Everton one because the fundamental thing... Well, yeah, it is worse, but the fundamental thing will come around. It's more... It's not a he said, she said, but the Premier League will almost need to prove that Manchester City have lied in what they've done, where this is... It's a bit more black and white, where Everton have admitted they've done wrong. How much they've done wrong is still up for grabs. But yeah, the Manchester City and Chelsea ones, I think when you read into it a bit more, that's what worries me because it will just get kicked and kicked further down the can. And I'd worry for football in general on Goldbridge Show's football because I think we're going to have more and more of these cases and then it almost becomes a league table of who's got the best lawyers, who can put the most smoke out there to sort of muddy the waters. And you don't want to be going into Premier League season, Champions League seasons with just question marks because, go on.
No, I was just going to say, because ultimately I love football and that's what this is all about. This is why we do it. And, you know, we are trying to save football in a sense. But I agree with you. the people who will suffer here are the Everton fans, potentially Chelsea fans, Man City fans. And let's be honest, I don't think it's just Chelsea, Man City and Everton. I would suspect it could be Manchester United. It could be Liverpool. It could be Arsenal. I would be very, very surprised if no other club in the Premier League has broken the rules at some point in the last 10 years. And if they have, I mean, one thing I did say on my That's Football video, Will, was that the Premier League need to lead from the front here. They've gone very strict on Everton. I don't mind them having teeth. But they've got to be consistent teeth. You can't eat that seal and then leave the other seal alone if you're a shark.
Seals? Oh, shark, sorry.
Because I'm a shark. So if they're going to have, or if you're a lion, you can't eat that antelope and then let the zebra get away with it just because he looks good. We can't have stuff like that going on. You've got to be fair. Newcastle get away with it. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes, you figured that out in the chat. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, but I think maybe if I was in charge of the Premier League here, it's a big problem. The eyes of the world are watching. You've made a drawn a line in the sand with Everton. You can't back down now. Then you're a coward. So I think that I think I'd be looking at some sort of amnesty. I'd be saying, look, we appreciate that things have gone wrong, and over the next 6 months is your opportunity as football clubs in the Premier League to tell us what you've done. And if you don't, and we do find out, then yeah, there's going to be problems. Because the worst thing is, you talk about relegating Chelsea and Man City, but you're going to replace them with Norwich and, I don't know, Birmingham or something like that. And it's like, look at what happened to Rangers when you took them out. They deserved it. They deserved to be taken out, Rangers, and they started right at the bottom. But everyone was like, when are Rangers going to be back? So, you know, I think we're all... I just feel sorry for the fans. I even feel sorry for the Man City fans if anything happens to them, because ultimately it's these people who run their football clubs that cause these issues.
Well, the worst bit is as well, it just rumbles on as well, because obviously Everton, and rightly so, have got the right to appeal. But then, you know, that could bring us to March, April. So that, again, there's just question marks over that. I don't know. Apparently we're going to get the end to the Manchester City charges next year. But then whatever the outcome of that is, that'll just be the start of a brand new process where this and that gets said. So I think, like, we don't want this to be part of football. And like, this just, I think the analogy you had with the amnesty, that would be great if they'd have done that before charging Everton. Like, if they could have had a more frank conversation with Everton, Manchester City, Chelsea, and be like, right, we all know you're being creative with your accountant. We all know you're doing X, Y, and Z to get around these things. It's like Formula One, isn't it? I've just been watching that Braun documentary. They put the list of regulations out every year, Formula One, and they say the best teams read it once to see what the rules are, and then read it again to sort of have their own view of it and how they can sort of manipulate it in a way to get around the rules, but still within the rules. And we need to...
It's like listening to this podcast. You listen to it once and then you listen to it again and you get more jokes and enjoyment out of it.
All the little jokes that we pre-write and meticulously put in. But yeah, I'm just worried for football in general, because I think there's just a dark cloud that's over football, and this dark cloud's going to get bigger, faster, wider, and be over us for a long time. So it's going to be a long, bleak winter in football, I worry about.
I agree. I think we're in this situation because of greed. I think there's been so much. If you think about when the Premier League was incepted in the early 90s, Serie A was number one. And I think the Premier League has just been on this fast track to be the best league in the world without actually taking the time and care to make sure that it's also got integrity. Football is about integrity to the fans. You want integrity. When you win, you want it to be, you know, beyond reproach. I found it not hilarious. That's not the right word. I didn't find it funny. I wasn't laughing at all. When Manchester City got their 115 charges, they, within 2 months of that, won the treble. There's something wrong about that. There's something wrong about going, we're charging you with 115 offences and we think you've done them, because that's what charging means. They feel they've got a case. And then 2 months later, they win the treble. And those charges are along, what is it, something like 8-10 years? So the whole basis of this Man City juggernaut, and it is, we've just said they'll probably be top at Christmas. They say the Premier League is basically saying, we think you've broken rules multiple times, which leads the ordinary fan like us to go, well, they are where they are because they broke the rules then. They fast-tracked their way through, allegedly. So I just think the integrity of football's at stake here. And we've seen what's happened with Serie A in the past and Italian football. And the Premier League is on very thin ice here, because if they get it wrong, then this greatest league in the world, which is obsessed with money, is going to come tumbling down, and rightly so. I mean, he's a contender, actually. I wanted to ask you about this, Will. This makes it easier, because I've got two contenders from Michael Owen in Pratt of the Week, so I'm going to bin one off to bring it into here. And one of them was he basically said this on Twitter, that whether Everton deserve a points deduction or not is up for debate, but I've never liked financial fair play. Surely there's a better way of protecting the future of clubs. Financial fair play protects the elite clubs and makes it near impossible for the chasing pack to compete. Disagree, disagree, disagree. What a prat. I mean, so what you're saying, Michael, if we get rid of financial fair play, teams like Everton and Crystal Palace will be able to compete with the Man Cities and the Newcastles? Absolutely not. Financial fair play is actually providing the best opportunity of competition in a place where we won't have that sort of competition, because Newcastle are so rich. If you didn't have financial fair play and say get rid of it, Everton can't compete with with Newcastle. Newcastle can buy the whole of the Premier League. There might be another way of doing it, but yeah, we definitely need financial restrictions.
But do you not just think with Newcastle now, it's just like we've spoken about this, it's inevitable that Newcastle will win the Premier League probably in the next 5 to 10 years, be in Europe going forward. And it's almost like FFP's there, great, but it just sort of maybe slows it down a little bit. It doesn't really stop the train. I think the interesting thing, going back to your previous point, is I feel like it is a tipping point for the Premier League, because it's just been on an upward trajectory, no stopping it. Think of all the horrible wrongs that have been involved with the Premier League. And then you're sort of eating your cake and now coming to roost. I've just used two analogies there. But I really think this could be a tipping point for the Premier League, where, you know, transfer fees, everything's going up, up and up. And I think this could really put a halt to that, because, yeah, integrity in sport is everything. And
look, we're here to say football, aren't we? And ultimately, we spend a lot of time talking about bad officiating, etc. But this is a concern, because this is the very structure and foundations of which the Premier League is built on. And to coin another phrase, what goes up must come down. And the Premier League can't just keep going up and up and up. And there's a lot of, you know, the Super League was there to bring it down. Other leagues would love to bring it down. Corruption, oh boy, and girl, it will bring you down. And the Premier League has to have teeth here. And as I say, it's fans that suffer, because if Everton ended up relegated, and of course there's other charges that might come in from other Premier League clubs who got relegated last year, they're talking about suing. It just gets very dangerous then, because we're trying to run a Premier League. We've missed the Premier League for 2 weeks, Will, because of the international break. Imagine the Premier League where Everton are being sued by the teams that got relegated last year. Liverpool are suing Man City because they didn't win 2 Premier League titles because Man City were cheating. Chelsea gets sued because they got top four and someone else did. I don't know how they solve this, but they can't sweep it under the carpet, because there's cleverer brains than ours that do the investigative journalism around this, and it takes them years.
Ultimately, finally for me, I just think that will happen though in some formal way. I just don't think the big clubs will get punished. I mean, I always used to use the analogy of like Manchester City still haven't had a points deduction, Barcelona £1 billion in debt, doing all sorts of financial reshaping, still not had a points deduction.
Well, they've got a referee thing going on as well, haven't they?
Well, I mean, that's one side of it. And then Birmingham City had a 9-point deduction a couple of years ago because we signed Christian Pedersen for £1.5 million when we shouldn't have.
He wasn't that bad. That's not fair.
It just feels like the teams who can get away with it, get away with it. And then the smaller teams. And I'd even put Everton in that category, just because they have rightly been punished. But I just don't think the punishment that we should see will happen.
This is not about having a horse in the race. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if over the next 12 months Man United have done something, and then again we suffer as fans. Get your comments in about this, because it is a serious issue. I'm sure we'll revisit, but we've also got in the title about Arsenal, just very quickly, because we've got loads to get through. Arsenal potentially going to face a charge from the Premier League. We know Arteta got charged last week. This is in relation to the VAR incident at Newcastle, and they've charged him absolutely against that, in my opinion. I don't think he should get charged. I heard somebody on the radio last week saying that any mention of referees by players or managers should lead to a charge from now on, to stop them talking about referees. That's a very idealistic view, in my opinion, Will, because if the officiating was good, then obviously I agree with respect, but respect should be earned. I feel Arteta did the right thing and Arsenal did the right thing. I still, to this day, look at that push in the back by Joel Linton, and I don't think it's sufficient for him to be charged, because he said that the officiating in that game was a disgrace. I think at best you agree to disagree, but this just seems very draconian and a dictatorship from an organisation that we already know this season, because just off this podcast, has made a lot of bad decisions. I just don't think it's a good look to be charging Arteta and Arsenal over a decision that at the very best was 50-50, and is there's been so many bad decisions. I just don't think it's a good look for the PGMOL or the Premier League. I think it comes across as a bit of a dictatorship.
Well, I think the worst thing for me over the last week, I know it's been a long time since the sort of Howard Webb and Michael Owen stuff, but it just felt like we're making this sort of spectacle out of these decisions, but the PGMLO, or however you say it, are sort of really basking in it as well. Like,
yeah,
at the start of the season, like that show's got to be, I don't know if it's commissioned or bought by, like, and tune in for 7:30 where Howard Webb and Michael Owen will be breaking down the latest decisions. It's like, they've got the audio, get it out on the Sunday or the Monday. There's plenty of other outlets and places where we can do with it. And it's almost like that they're really wanting the entertainment of these decisions. And that's what I really struggled with, where you've got people on Twitter going, yeah, fair play, like they got it right. Well, yeah, they should get it right. It's the job. And we don't need a half an hour entertainment show with Howard Webb, who's got all the charisma of insert joke there. And I just don't think we need it, because it almost empowers them to be right, let's have a couple of decisions this weekend and go from there. It just felt really, it didn't sit well with me, to be honest.
Well, again, Michael Owen, again, he's probably going to avoid Pratt of the Week, because both of his contenders are getting mentioned before Pratt of the Week. But they did this show, Howard Webb and Michael Owen, and Michael Owen may as well be a puppet, because he just doesn't challenge Howard Webb. I'd love it to be one of us. But they don't do the show until 2 weeks later. So they're sat there talking about the Newcastle
incident. We
don't need a show, because it's like feeding someone porridge when they're 20. You know, I can eat my own porridge, thanks. I'm not a bloody baby. and it's too late, and it's for idiots, and it's basically just two mates backing each other. But this is how delusional they are, and this is how bad the mainstream is on this. They think, oh, we're getting a bit of heat here, lads. Can you say something on Twitter to take it off us? They still think football fans can be manipulated by an ex-player with a few million Twitter followers telling them that they're wrong. But we don't live in that world now. Michael Owen, after that show, this was his tweet. You're scumbags. Always have been. Trawl through a load of messages until you find a couple of negative ones and then create an article. Most people thought the show was insightful and educational, which is our aim. And I'm like, oh my God, how to not read a room. So he'd seen an article in the, I think it was the Mail or something, and he thinks that they've searched to find two negative comments about him and Howard Webb and then made a big deal of it. And the fact that he put, most people think our show is insightful and educational, just to me epitomizes the big, big issue here with the people at the top of football and the way football is being run at the moment, because nobody finds it insightful and nobody finds it educational. Most people find it a dictatorship that they will not, and who is unaccountable and won't own up to their own mistakes.
Insightful and educational I want from when I'm doing my training at Morrison's and I'm learning how to pick up a box. I don't want to have that on a Tuesday peak time when Michael, and I mean, the biggest prat of the season can be handed out now. Whichever TV producer thought Michael Owen and Howard Webb would be the new Anton Deck of VAR needs an absolute rocket up the arse and firing immediately, because that is the biggest crime. Forget the 115 charges. That is the biggest crime in football history.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Michael Owen, No, you're right. I mean, Michael Owen, to me, comes across as a guy that isn't even that interested in football anymore. I mean, I know he likes his horses, but he just does. He is stereotypically known for stating the obvious. He doesn't come across as, at least Neville, Carragher and some of the others, they might get it wrong, but they come across as passionate. Michael Owen just comes across as very, very boring and very uninterested. So to have him next to Howard Webb, who is quite charismatic, Howard Webb will say something, and he'll go, okay, Howard. Yeah, that's fine, Howard. And you're like, no, is a complete and utter, what is the word? It's not dictatorship. Propaganda. It's a propaganda show. That's what that is. Yeah. And it is a joke. Should we do Pratt of the Week?
Yeah. You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
God, I've missed you. God, I've missed that. It's been too long. I've still got some contenders, although Michael Owen was down for two.
Before we get into Pratt of the Week as well, we have some lovely comments on the Spotify page as well. And this week, if you want to get Pratt of the Week dedicated to you, please get in touch. And this week it's dedicated to Andy the Geordie, who got in touch on Spotify to say, please, for the love of Christ, stop using that fucking jingle. So that's for you, Andy. And here's one for you. No, I'll leave it for now. But get in touch.
I had one as well from Sam Taylor, who said, surely Goldbridge has to be Pratt of the Week contender, considering he did a FIFA stream last week and was shouting and screaming because he couldn't hear the game, but had the wrong headphones on that weren't even plugged in. Well, that's very gaming specific, and this is about football, so we won't be putting me forward. But I have I had both the Michael Owen ones, and really, just check Michael Owen's Twitter timeline. His last two tweets are just, they're debatable. But I'm going to bring an old favourite in as well, Tim Sherwood. He came out this week with, he was talking about Marcus Rashford, and he basically said that Marcus Rashford won't be starting for England in the Euros, and he can thank his manager for that. If he was at Man City, he'd be world class. And I just thought, wow, what a complete and utter prat. Marcus Rashford was Manchester United's player of the year, got voted as his player of the year, as our player of the year last year. And I was talking about him winning the Ballon d'Or. Guess who was the manager? Erik ten Hag. Marcus Rashford this season isn't playing particularly well. Neither is Bruno, neither is Casemiro. I don't think you can pin this on Erik ten Hag. And also, beyond that, I love Marcus Rashford. I think he's a fantastic player. I think Bruno's a fantastic player. But if they were at Man City, they'd be sat in a tracksuit at best on their bench. So I just thought, that's a guy in the mainstream media talking to the nation out of his arse. And he is a prat, in my opinion. Any thoughts on that, though? Do you think Marcus Rashford would be world-class for Pep? I just don't see... I don't think he's a Pep player. He's not a possession-based player. And also, I don't think he'd start.
I think the thing we spoke about with Manchester City is they turn people to fit their system. So would Marcus Rashford eventually fit the system? Probably, yes. I think what you do get from Manchester City is just a stable condition there where everything's controlled by Pep from top to bottom. You know what's going on, scandals, everything. And also, he wouldn't be top dog as well, which sort of might help him. So I think he might maybe get a little bit more out of him, but it might be a bit different. But yeah, to your point where he was there previously last season and Eric got the best out of him. Can I call you Eric? I just have. I think it's just a bad run of... We've seen this with Rashford before. He's up and down. Ultimately, I think he needs to leave. If it's the Man City, yes. But I think ultimately he needs to leave Manchester United.
But the bottom line as well is that I think Tim Sherwood's a bit like, I'm going to call him a goldfish, because I think he wakes up in the morning and completely forgets anything. I mean, he probably doesn't even know he needs to brush his teeth. He probably needs to be told. He wakes up and comes out with complete and utter nonsense, because Marcus Rashford actually last season was brilliant and he was getting loads of praise. And it's a bit like Grealish at Villa, isn't it? He might be a better player at Man City now, but he doesn't start every week. But at Villa, he was the star and everyone was talking about him. And Marcus Rashford, when he plays well for Man United, he's the star of Man United. And Man United are a massive club. So, yeah, just a weird comment. Have you got any contenders?
Yeah, scrolling through Twitter last night, I saw an absolute doozy. Steven Gerrard's been mentioned on this podcast numerous times. We've moved to Saudi Arabia. But a video appeared, some sort of propaganda for the league, where they're sat down with interviewing managers and players that have gone over. And Gerrard's talking about Saudi Arabia. And he comes over the most inconvincing for even Steven Gerrard. We spoke before where he said the three reasons where he was going to Saudi were the project, maybe his family, and none of them were money. Well, this week he said that it's just the way he was speaking as well. He was like, and obviously when Cristiano Ronaldo joined, or as we call him, the GOAT, I mean, it just felt really... So basically he's flopped from Messi to Ronaldo. Ronaldo's now his GOAT, and we've pondered the question why that's happened.
Yeah, I did see it. You sent it to me this morning, actually, and I was just like, it comes across as ridiculously insincere and totally motivated by how much money is being pumped into his bank account, which is absolutely fine. There's no problem with... Look, people go for money everywhere, like they do. That's the world. Let's not pretend we're moral crusaders saying that people can't go and earn money. Of course they can't. But what we can do is look at someone when they're doing an interview and check their sincerity. And I think since Steven Gerrard's gone to Saudi Arabia... if he was doing well at Aston Villa, would he be there? No. He got the sack from Aston Villa. He'd probably blown his chance of getting a decent job in England again. High profile, fantastic footballer. Begrudgingly say that as a United fan, but he has gone there to make a lot of money. And basically, it looks a little bit like I can be paid to say anything about football. And if Messi was there as the face of Saudi Arabian football, Messi'd be the GOAT. It's Ronaldo, so he's the GOAT. And it did come across as ridiculously insincere. But insincere doesn't mean it won't all work.
Yeah, exactly. Another one that I saw this morning, there was a call on a call show. that's all you're getting. And Guy came on, and I think it's a great one for us because we have a lot of back and forth. But he basically said, Sven-Goran Eriksson would have done better with this group of players than Gareth Southgate because he's got more resources at his disposal.
Hmm.
But obviously not thinking that, obviously Sven-Goran Eriksson had the golden generation with Rooney, Owen, Lampard, Terry, Gerrard, Scholes, Beckham, Hargreaves, Campbell, Ashley Cole, Gary Neville. I could go on, but I just thought that was an absolute ridiculous comment.
I have to agree. I think that Southgate... Well, I do agree because Eriksson pisses me off. Eriksson actually pisses me off. Like, if they'd said Venables or someone like that, I would agree that Venables... Bobby Robson would have won it with these set of players. But Eriksson bottled it. Like, 2002, quarterfinal against 10 men Brazil, bottled it with players that should have won it. Should have 04 probably should have won the Euros. 06 probably should have won the World Cup. So Eriksson's not a good example of it. I mean, look, Southgate, Eriksson's a better manager, but ultimately they both could have the same legacy of messing up a selection of players that really should have won a major tournament. And you don't want that on your CV. But no, I don't think Eriksson is going to... He was very grey, very, very boring and not the manager you want in a quarterfinal when you're losing 2-1 to Brazil and they're down to 10 men and you've got half an hour to win the game and he just did nothing. I think he had a whole half, actually. Waste of time. Rubbish. Who should we go with? Pratt of the Week, then?
Well, I didn't know if you just wanted to finish because I think Michael Owen's actually got another one, but I hadn't actually seen this. You said he wants to get rid of FPL.
Yeah, that's what we just... Financial fair play.
Oh, do you mean... No, FPL's Fantasy Premier League.
Oh, he wants to get rid of that as well? Oh, my
God.
No,
that's what you... No, I think you've texted me meaning FFP.
And
I've copied and pasted it. I thought he wanted to get rid of fantasy football.
He probably does. I mean, look, it's a shame he doesn't want to get... No, he wants to get rid of FFP. He's never liked it. So, and also, he's obviously his comment... I think it has to be Michael Owen this week. I know he didn't... we've mentioned him way too much and he's way off. And I think, Michael Owen, you are... Pratt of the Week.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, right, we've got to whiz through some of these because I'm on a time limit today. And remember, we've got Friday's show as well. We're going to be back with Premier League predictions, Goldbridge, and a hell of a lot more. Can't wait for this weekend. Some cracking games, and it's great to have real football back. But a regular section of the Tuesday show is our little quiz we've got, which is our head-to-head. I've got a cracking one. I've actually done some work on this one this week. But we've got a few either-ors to get through, first of all. I'm going to start off. Kyle Walker or Gary Neville? Who's the better right-back? Are you old enough to remember this, Will?
Yeah, I'm 32, nearly 33. Okay. I feel like this is just a free hit for you. I mean, there's no way that you can say in any way, shape, or what we're talking about, a better businessman, or because maybe Gary Neville wins that, but there is no way that you can say
you're
going to
go Kyle Walker.
What, are you going Gary Neville?
Yeah.
What are you at? Look, no matter how many times you say it, you ain't getting on the overlap, so there's no point trying to go for Neville.
But this is my point. Like, I'm not bitter and stubborn. There's people out there, right, who don't like me. Mm. And if they said, who's a better presenter, Mark Goldbridge or Will, they'd say Will because they don't like me. Even though everyone knows it's me. Nah, I'm joking. But no, look, I'm not talking about Gary Neville, the pundit or the person or anything like that. I'm talking about football. Kyle Walker's got a few dodgy stories about him, let's be honest. So we're talking about footballers. Kyle Walker is very, very good, but he's totally reliant on pace, in my opinion. Gary Neville played for England in Euro 96 and was, you know, that was his breakthrough tournament. Was at the top of his game playing for England and Manchester United. I just think he's underrated as a right back. And as somebody who saw him throughout his career, he could play centre back as well. I saw him playing tournaments against really good wingers, Figo, and have a really good game against him. I think he's underrated as a right back. Guaranteed not necessarily born with talent, but certainly worked hard at his talent. He's getting up at 5 o'clock every morning and attacking the day, even as a right back. And I think Gary Neville's career and all round game is better than Kyle Walker. So I would go Gary Neville, but this is probably going to cause ructions in the chat and if we clip it up as well.
Yeah, I think overall, I think Gary Neville's game is underrated. Even the way he was speaking about himself in the David Beckham documentary, you were like, hang on, Gary, like, you know, you've won a treble, you've won multiple Premier Leagues, just you are a very good right back, so stop talking yourself down. But overall, as a better player, Kyle Walker, hands down for me.
Yeah, he does talk himself down a lot. I would go him. We've got to whiz through these. What do we got? Jota or Foden? This was quite a good one. This came in from Tremaine, who asked us about this from the chat. Remember, can you leave your chats on the Spotify question area? I want to say Foden, but it did make me think.
Obviously, it's Foden.
No, but Jota actually is a bit underrated. He does a really good job for Liverpool, yeah, and he does pop up with a lot of goals. But I do think Jota is a good player, and I think it's a conversation, which is more than I think you would give it. But I just think Foden's so technically gifted. He's probably one of the most technically gifted England players that we've produced in relation to his... I don't think he's fulfilled his potential yet. I still think he's got gears to go through, certainly for England. And I think that Man City side should really, at some point, be focal around him instead of De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva. But yeah, I think Foden's technically better than Jota.
Yeah, I mean, hands down, I was quite surprised that you even put it in the WhatsApp chat. So I think hands down, Phil Foden.
We'll keep this one, De Bruyne versus Scholes, back for another week, because I think it's a longer conversation. But a nice little quick one. If Rodri is the best centre midfielder, holding midfielder in the league, who is the second best? I.e., is it Declan Rice?
Well, yeah, that's the first one that sprang to my mind. Have you got any sort of ones for your nominations there? Because I think Declan Rice's game has sort of expanded even further. He was definitely doing what he was doing at Arsenal, at West Ham. But I think just to have those games in the Champions Leagues, hopefully we can see it for what he's been doing for England carry on. I just think he's absolutely phenomenal and could probably, if two years at Arsenal, I think could really be pushing Rodri to be, we'd be having the debate, Rodri or Rice.
I think we've got to be a little bit careful of recency bias, because Casemiro last season for Man United was magnificent and coming in as one of the best. Played a lot last season. I also think Basuma's been really good this year for Spurs.
Yeah.
And so is Alexis McAllister in that Liverpool role. Very, very underrated. But look, I wouldn't necessarily answer this question as a definitive, but I do.
Enzo Fernandez?
He has, again, in a team that probably isn't as fashionable. But look, I think it's a really good one. I don't think it's clear cut. And I think Declan Rice, I agree with Will, when I've seen Arsenal this year, and they've not always been convincing, he has been really, really good and has adapted to that position. I think it's one to revisit probably into the new year when they've all had a little bit longer. But yeah, Declan Rice at the moment is fantastic. Let's do our little quiz. So how this works is Will has a player, I have a player. What's the overall scores, Will? Is it 2-1 to me?
No, I think it's 3-1 to me.
Nah, we'll have to double check. Oh, I won last week.
It's 2-1. It's 2-2 then.
It's 2-2. So we get a point each week for the winner. We'll have a player. I will have a player. We will give each other 5 clues. If you get it on the first clue, you get 5 points. Second clue, 4 points. It's a bit like a penalty shootout, really. How many do you miss before you score? And who went first? I'll go first this week then. Okay,
yeah,
so you can play along at home here, I put more work into this than I did last week, because last week I just sort of made some work. No, I had a player in mind and I built it around them, which is always a good way to go. So, first clue: I started my career in France and I'm in the 100 goals Premier League club.
Thierry Henry.
No, it's a good one.
I've got it already.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well done. Well, you've had your guess. So you could get 4 if you get this. I'm currently playing, and I've played for 6 clubs, but my biggest transfer fee is £34 million.
Olivier Giroud.
No.
Oh, so I was so sure then.
Oh, mate, you know what? maybe they're not French.
You said they were French.
No, they started their career in France.
Ah, sacré bleu.
Yeah. So started a career in France, in the 100 Premier League goals club, currently still playing, but has played for 6 clubs, and his biggest ever transfer fee was £34 million. Okay, so
lovely from you. You must be really pleased with your red herring there.
No, it's not a red herring. Loads of people started their career in France.
I'm praising you.
Okay, number 3. I won everything in domestic football with my last Premier League club. So won the Champions League, Premier League, EFL and FA Cup. And he did it at his last Premier League club, who he doesn't play for anymore.
I still can't believe it's not Olivier Giroud. Started in France, 100 goal club, won it all domestically. I'm really struggling now, I'll be honest with you. Really struggling.
It's a good one. Now. When I put the work in, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, you do, yeah. I've had my pants down here. I literally can't think of anyone because I can't tell you how much I thought it was Olivier Giroud. It's not this because he didn't get the 100 goal club, but Lacazette.
No. So yeah, we're on to clue four now. He could get two.
Shit.
He might get it off this one. So reminder, started career in France in the 100 goals Premier League club, currently playing, but his biggest fee was 34 million. Won everything in his last Premier League club, won all the domestic trophies and the Champions League. Clue four, currently playing in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, Sadio Mane.
Yeah. Well done. Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it?
Really good from you. Yeah, well done you. You should be really proud of yourself.
Final clue would have been 100 caps for my African nation.
Yeah, nice. Very good.
That's a good
very
one.
Good. Okay.
When I put the work, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I know you can tell.
Thanks, Steve.
Right.
Big shout out.
Right, here we go. I made my
so you got two. You got two, didn't you?
Yeah, I got two. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So you need to get it on.
I'm rubbish at this game.
I made my England debut in 2008 in a friendly game against Trinidad and Tobago.
Peter Crouch.
No, incorrect. Managers I've played under include Sean Dyche, Jose Mourinho and Alex McLeish.
Sean Dyche, Jose Mourinho and Alex McLeish and made my England debut. So he's English, definitely. And Sean Dyche, Alan Alex McLeish.
I've got no idea.
I can't think. I'm rubbish at this game. Brain is stirring. I'm going to say Joe Hart, even though I know it's not. I need another clue.
It's Joe Hart, it's correct.
Is it?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Fuck's sake.
It came into my head first and I was just like, it won't be Joe Hart because I couldn't think. Who's he played? Yeah. Jose Mourinho, who's he played for him then? Spurs?
He did that, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Sean Dyche would have been Burnley. Alex McLeish, Birmingham?
Correct, yeah. And then next clues include...
Go on.
You're all buzzing here, aren't you? Leagues I've played in include SPL, Serie A and the Premier League. Four was I've been a guest on the Fozcast. And five was I currently play in Scotland for Celtic.
What was clue three going to be?
Leagues I've played in include the SPL, Serie A and the Premier League.
I tell you what, that's like whacking a ball from the halfway line to clear it and it goes in the top corner and you go, I meant it. I absolutely fluked that one and I will take it though. There's no VAR, I will take that.
What a day you've had there. A great set of questions from you threw me off and then you've come in and stole Joe Hart.
With a guess. With a stupid guess. Like, it was a
educated
flippant guess.
Guess.
It wasn't. It was flippant. I was just like, I don't even know why he came into my head. I just thought Burnley and Sean Dyche.
Also, just a quick reminder for the Christmas show as well. I've been in contact with you if you've won. So your name's on the door. So if you haven't heard from me, buy a ticket.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. December the 11th, we've got Football Fill-In, Goldbridge Saves Football podcast against each other. It's going to be a great night in Manchester. Get your tickets if you want. Just search United Stand Christmas show and you'll get those online. It's been a great show to be back. We filled it quite well considering it's international and there's a lot going on. Make sure you give us your 5 stars on Spotify and give us your comments. We're getting more and more that we're bringing into the shows now. And of course, Will, very excited. We're back on Friday with our Premier League preview podcast and Goldbridge, which I already know I did shite because you wouldn't let me sub players out last time, you shit.
Yeah, well, you're the shit moaning on Twitter. So I think it was a bad week all round. But we're back in force, ready for Liverpool, Man City, all the big games. The football's back and we'll be ready to digest it.
And remember, don't forget to put in your comments in relation to the new jingle, which will be back next week. Who'll be top at Christmas? That is all. I'm still saying
Andy
Liverpool.
The Geordie will be back.
Yeah. What? Who have you gone for top at Christmas? Did you say City?
I'd go Man City because don't want to get anything wrong.
Thanks everybody for watching. It's great to be back. Fantastic podcast. And we've got some exciting stuff coming up for you at Christmas as well around this podcast. So we can't wait to reveal that for you. So keep involved and we'll speak to you on Friday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.